We celebrate moms today because of their role in all of our lives. We celebrate them because of their influence in our lives. Who are you influencing? And how are you influencing them? We're going to look at three passages out of the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to start in chapter 1. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 12. But if you look at verse 1, it's, "I, the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." It was Solomon. And this is what he writes. "I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of man to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. And I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realized that this also is striving after wind, because in much wisdom there is much grief. And increasing knowledge results in increasing pain." So influencing others is what I want us to think about this morning. Influencing others never happens through your personal accomplishments. Solomon, the preacher, has been king over Israel. And that was quite an accomplishment. And so he then set his mind to understand all the works under the sun. And he said, they're chasing after the wind. Everything that I was trying to do was chasing after wind. He set his mind to know wisdom and knowledge, which the world says is fulfilling and gives significance. But he also gave his mind, his life, to madness and folly. And he realized that both of those were chasing after the wind. Chasing after the wind. His accomplishments came to mean nothing. And because ultimately they were influencing no one. There is no eternal value in this. He was self-absorbed. Now, maybe that's a term that I've coined myself. Self-absorbed is when life is all about you. It's what you want. It's what's going on in your life. He was self-absorbed. And all these personal accomplishments that he was about got him nowhere. They were chasing after the wind. And all the time that you spend seeking after personal accomplishments on your own are ultimately about you. The lady's name is Martha. She was in a Broadway musical at the age of 10. She went on to do commercials, TV shows, even a long-running part on a TV soap opera. At 17, Martha Byrne had won an Emmy, accomplishments. To further her career, she moved to Hollywood. For most of 10 years, she had been in front of cameras. She could learn a page of dialogue in a snap, take direction, and work with other actors. She found work in Hollywood, lots of it, lots of it. More accomplishments. Yet in between jobs, she would find herself sitting alone, wondering why she wasn't having fun anymore. Finally, disappointment over getting a certain role that she wanted caused her to go back home to her family. She did, and within a month met her future husband and got a call back then to the soap opera. She had given up making it in show business. Her accomplishments had gone away, but she made it by returning to what truly mattered. What truly matters to you? Maybe you're like Martha. You're looking for fulfillment in your accomplishments. And we are all striving after something. But is it that we're striving after the wind? When's the last time you caught the wind? Even with a kite or a sail on a sailboat, You catch the wind for but a moment. And and Solomon is saying, everything is chasing after the wind. Stop for a moment and consider, what do you consider your greatest accomplishment? Well, I graduated here, I graduated there, I've done this, I've done that, I've built this, I've built that. When it's all said and done, what is that going to matter? That you've gotten these degrees, or you built this, or you did that? Do all these things give your life meaning? Did it give your life meaning? What was lasting about it? My question to you is, how I want you to think about it is, did you influence anyone towards Christ through all that? There's a story, and I can't remember where I've seen it, but it was about the man who was one of the first doctors to be in on heart transplants. And he was always gone. And so finally he was headed home, and his wife and his family met him at the airport, and they were leaving. And he said, why are you leaving now? And she said, you're never home. You're never around your family. Well, I was doing this and I was doing that. Yes, you were building a career, but you should have been building a family. Now, some of us have children, some of us don't. But there are kids to influence. There are people that you're sitting next to that you can influence towards Christ. Are you doing that? Do you ever feel empty after a big event? Do you ever feel empty after a big holiday like Christmas? I think all of us do at some point. Because we build up to something and then it's happened. And we wonder, what's next? What's next? It's always about something more. Sometimes we're just busy. And busyness is always about accomplishing something more. But is your busyness killing you and your family? Do you constantly need something to keep you stimulated so that you don't have time to stop and reflect on your life and how things really are? And sadly, women have fallen into this trap in increasing numbers. And I just have to commend all moms who stay at home. Yeah, you could be doing this, but you're doing something more. Sometimes we put it about education and jobs and career. We all say this is the way to fulfillment. And the world says you can do it all, you can have it all, but those are all lies that get told and ultimately, unfortunately, believed. So is it any wonder, as both men and women have believed this, that marriages and families have suffered? So ladies, what kind of a life are you modeling? Moms, does your family see that your relationship with Christ is most important to you? Or do they see that what is most important is what you get done? So how are you trying to influence others? Influencing others never happens by seeking pleasures. Turn with me into chapter 2. We're going to keep reading in chapter 2, verse 1. Again, Solomon, the preacher, said to I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted them in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves, and I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Thus I considered my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity, and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon, the preacher, had set out to possess a good time. We all like a good time, don't we? But he had set out in such a way that when it was all said and done, he said, it's all vanity. He wanted to be entertained. He wanted to do it in a controlled way. He wanted to go about things the way he wanted. He laughed, he was entertained, he enjoyed his wine, and when he looked back, he said, it's futility. Having a good time doesn't give meaning. It doesn't influence others. He gained houses, he gained lands, he gained employees, slaves. He gained treasures, he gained women, he gained pleasures. And he said, well, it was good. But now that goodness is gone. It was fleeting at best. And when he ultimately stepped back and considered it all, he said, it's futility. It's vanity. It's chasing after wind. Because his possessions, what he owned in his enjoyment, they meant nothing. They did not influence. You've heard the story about Corrie ten Boom, the saintly lady who endured such brutality in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. She once said that she had learned to hold everything loosely in her hand. She said she discovered in her years of walking with the Lord that when she grasped things tightly, it would hurt when the Lord took them out of her hand. Followers of Jesus hold all things, even enjoyment, loosely. I don't think there's a representative from... Yes, there is. I take that back. There are six generations of people present in this area right now. Six different generations. The first of those generations is what one person calls the GI generation. People born between 1918 and 1926. They're the ones who fought the war. Sadly, we're losing that generation. The next generation is the builders or the silence, born from about 27 up to about 45, up into that era. It's what my parents were. Technically, I guess my dad was actually a GI generation. But those people looked at life differently. Then we have the boomers. Then it's the Gen X, the Gen Y, or what we call millennials today. And this is a new one, the Gen Z or boomlets. I thought that was kind of cute. But every one of those generations looks at life differently because they're influenced by different things. I'll never forget the time my dad told my boys the story about my grandfather needing to buy the plow, and one sold at auction for a quarter, and he didn't have a quarter. But we're now all about enjoying things. We want to enjoy things. We want to have this pleasure. Was it last fall? Probably, I think it was when I was watching a little bit of football along that they started out with the commercial about the device-free meals. And on the commercial, they showed the mom and the dad, they're both. And you look at people today, and what are they doing? They're looking down. They're looking at their phones. They're looking at their computers. They're looking at their iPads or whatever it is that they hold. And they don't see, but they're doing that because they want to enjoy themselves. Why is it that we think pleasures will ultimately satisfy us when what the preacher has said is it's all chasing after the wind? What do you value most today? What do you value most? Do you hold things loosely? How much more will it take to make you happy or fulfilled? Solomon had everything. If he wanted it, he got it. If he wanted it built, he built it. If he wanted it to develop, he developed it. But ultimately, he said, everything's a chasing after the wind. How much more do you think you'll need to give your kids? How much will be enough? You know, that's a question that everybody knows the answer to. How much will be enough? Just a little bit more. But a little bit more doesn't ultimately fulfill. Do you think that one more thing will influence someone toward Christ? Ultimately, we need to get away from things and get to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you ever try to make yourself feel better by buying something? I listen to Dave Ramsey a lot. I've told you that. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's scary. Scarily amazing, if that's a word, a decent phrase. How many people are in such great debt because they think one more thing will help them? Instead of asking, what will this do or to or for children, many ask, what will this do to or for me? So ladies, what kind of life are you modeling? Moms, does your family see that your relationship with Christ is most important to you? Or is it your pleasure? How are you trying to influence others? Influencing others happens only if you touch eternity in your occupation. Turn with me to the last chapter. Well, we're actually going to start in chapter 11, towards the end, verse 9. Solomon has talked and talked and talked. He's thought and thought and thought. He's done this and he's done that, and he begins to sum it up. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart, and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim, and the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Jump down to verse 13 then. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is this: fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden whether it is good or evil. I said, influencing others happens only if you touch eternity in your occupation. Your occupation is what you spend your time doing. It could be play. It could be work. It could be school. It could be child rearing. But you also have an occupation as a retiree. How did you spend yesterday afternoon? How did you spend Friday morning? That's your occupation. Solomon had been on this long journey of selfish gain. He declares it all to be vanity. He said, life is short. Have a reverence for God. Pay attention to your relationship with Christ. You look at your occupation not as an end itself, but as a tool that allows you to touch others. You touch eternity only through a personal relationship with Christ. Then you do that in fulfilling the role He has for you. If that's a stay-at-home mom, great. If it's a corporate CEO, that's okay too. But touch eternity through your relationship with Christ. Touch eternity by giving away your life. As a young person, make God central in your life so that there will not be lost years. And Solomon says, fear and obey God. A survey was taken of people who are over 95. The people were asked one question. It was an open-ended question that they could answer any way they wished. The question was this: if you could live your life over again, what would you do differently? And these are the three answers that came back most frequently. If I could live my life over again, I would reflect more. I would think about what I was doing. If I could live my life over again, I would risk more. And finally, they said, if I would do more things that would live on after I'm dead. Is your relationship with Christ most important? I hope so. It's the only thing that's going to give your life meaning. Is following Him that supreme goal? Do you love Jesus more than anything? Have you ever led anyone to Christ? Have you ever tried? Have you ever made a disciple? Someone who, after being with you and spending time with you, was closer to Christ than before? Have you ever tried? You touch eternity by giving your life away to help others in their growth in Christ. Ladies, what kind of a life are you modeling? How are you trying to influence others? Is your life touching eternity? And listen, I understand that sometimes life is a mundane situation. You do the same thing over and over and over. But ultimately, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a time when you're going to say, it was worth it. It may be maddening now, but it'll be worth it. So who has influenced you the most? I got this in an email from an organization. This is what it said. In one of his psalms, David mentioned his mother as his role model in serving the Lord. While not all of us have a godly heritage, each of us has an opportunity to build a godly reputation in this generation. As we live into our identity as people who lead like Jesus, our interactions with other people will increasingly exalt God. We will experience the joy of seeing our words and actions bless others, and people around us will experience the goodness and grace of God. Maybe you need to pray this prayer. Lord, use me to bless others and to be a godly role model for those in my spheres of influence. The question is not, are you influencing someone? The question is, to what end? To what end? Is your life influencing others towards Christ and towards good? what will be said of you?